Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company. We're Pets Health is our business, and we're friends, like my friend Dr. Judy Jasek. Yeah, she didn't let friends feed kibble. Now do you, Dr. Jasek?
No way, y'all.
How you doing up there in Tennessee?
Doing good. You know, it's like springtime here. It's so nice, you know, in Colorado in March. Like, you really wanted it to be spring, but you got a couple more months of snow. Here, it's like spring for real. Like, the trees are blooming and the grass is growing, and I've been out planting like crazy. I planted 32 trees and shrubs in the last couple weeks.
What?
So, yeah.
Well, then you'll be even more thrilled that you're in Tennessee to know that we have a winter storm upon us and possibly 3 feet of snow coming
our way. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, good thing I'm on day 72 of the hard 75, but, yeah, I might be walking in 3 feet of snow. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, crazy. You won't have to go as far because it's a lot harder. So isn't it by time to do 45 minutes?
Yeah, right. Right. I'm stuck. I'm just stuck in place doing the 45 minutes, but
march.
But crazy. But this is the time of year, right? Mid-March when we get these big dumps of snow. So
snowiest months.
That's right. So we'll see. Hey, we did the rabies webinar. What a great success that was. I mean, so many attendees. The information that you presented was amazing. And what do you think the biggest takeaway, should have been? I don't know what people took away from it, but what do you think the biggest takeaway from that rabies webinar is?
Well, I think the foundational thing is that there's no basis whatsoever for the mandates that require pets to have a rabies shot to go into a clinic. And I guess secondary to that is that people are going to have to push back. You know, like, it's not just me getting out there and saying this stuff, even though I can present facts, I can completely invalidate it. That isn't going to make the mandates go away. People are going to have to go in and demand a different type of service. And I hope people do, or I hope people at least start doing it, because it's going to take some numbers to do it to make a difference. But, you know, I can't imagine that if a vet were confronted with this information enough times that they couldn't open their eyes to it. I mean,
oh, now, or did you want to place a bet on that, Dr. Jasek? I don't know.
I really don't know, because I'm continually baffled by what goes on in the veterinary profession. But it's a start, you know.
Well, I'll tell you that somebody that backs you up is a Dr. Sam and Mark Bailey in this book, The Final Pandemic. All you got to do is turn to page 77, and that's going to deal with treatments that cause disease. And the very first line says rabies. Rabies is a rare disease, so rare that the vast majority of doctors will never see a single case of this condition in their lifetime. Now, people might say, well, that's because we have the rabies vaccine. But oh no, you just have to continue reading to understand that Louis Pasteur, his stuff was totally bogus.
Yeah.
And we're continuing, or the medical community is continuing to cause issues in dogs. And I'm going to make that statement, and people will say, well, you have no evidence. Well, I think we do. And, you know, putting toxins in your body is in no way a healthy regimen. Let's just put it that way.
Right. I mean, I've never seen a case of rabies. I don't even know anybody like that I've known in my personal circles that's ever actually seen a case of rabies, an actual tested case. Yeah, you hear the propaganda, you hear it on the news. Oh, there's a rabies outbreak. Oh, we're seeing rabies and skunks in Colorado. You used to hear that. You know, there's, but how was it tested? Like, did it ever give you any succinct information? Or this email I got from the AVMA, their insurance trust, the headline is a rabies exposure has been reported in Tennessee, which is where I now live. That was interesting timing right after the webinar. But no information on the case, no information on was it a bite? Was it a wild animal? Was it a domestic animal? They don't say, but they're happy to sell you insurance to cover any rabies treatment. So that's all it's about is that little blast of fear and then selling insurance. And that's what's typically done.
So what are they insuring? What are they selling this insurance for?
I think they're covering either rabies, I think it says rabies prophylaxis, which means the rabies vaccine, basically, for the veterinarians. And this also covers, rabies prophylaxis either before or after exposure. So it would be the rabies vaccine before and then rabies treatments afterwards.
Oh, goody.
So.
So I wonder what they would say, Dr. Jasek, if you emailed them and you said, hey, would you send me over the actual test? How did you guys test that out? What kind of animal was it? Where was it?
Yeah.
What was the method? And you know, that's something that Dr. Cowan and his group, the folks that actually do testing, look at the method section all the time. They're like, well, let's look and see. How did you do this and that? And that's where everything tends to fall apart. And one of the reasons that I bought this book, The Final Pandemic, and that I think everyone should buy it, is because it shows you how the propaganda works. And of course, if you don't know that puppet strings are attached to your little brain, you might not know that you need to cut them.
Right.
Cut them loose.
Right. Right. Exactly. Because that's
Right?
what they want. They want us all to be a bunch of puppets. Just, we tell you this information and you jump. But that's actually a really good idea. I'll have to do that. I'll have to email them and say, hey, I live in Tennessee. I'd be really curious to know, was this what type of animal? You didn't mention anything about the case. How was it tested? What were the symptoms?
Right?
Yeah, I bet they either don't reply or they reply with something equally as vague because there is no case. Right.
Right. We just seeing a little vaccine hesitancy because those folks are doing those rabies webinar and stuff like that, and people are getting smart. We got to dumb them back down.
That's
Okay.
right. Can't have people waking up and thinking critically or anything.
No. So let's talk a little bit about this new thing on the market called Leap Years, a daily supplement clinically proven to slow the effects of aging in dogs. Really?
Yeah.
So nothing to s let's don't change the diet, Dr. Jasek. Let's just give them a supplement.
I
Shall we?
know. It's ridiculous because you know what? Raw food would also slows aging. Stopping vaccinating also slows aging. All the things we talk about all the time also slow aging. So why don't you just do that? Oh, but then they wouldn't make money selling the supplements, silly me.
Right. And Brian and I kind of went over the ingredients in this yesterday, and I was going to try, and it's a soft chew.
Oh yeah,
Okay.
with flavors, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, there was flavors. There's all types of stuff in there, which if you go to the website, it's very hard to find them. As you've learned over the years, right? They put all this stuff like, where do you get your raw materials and, packaging and all this kind of stuff? Because we don't want you to look at the actual ingredients.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yep,
Okay.
it's all the marketing, all the marketing stuff. That's a huge red flag to me when you have to dig and dig and dig. And some of the food companies are like that too. You have to dig and dig and dig in the website to even find the actual ingredients. That's a big red flag because companies that have good, legitimate products, they just put them right out there because they're proud of them. Like, look, we've got this great product with these great ingredients, but they're hoping that you just get tired of digging and just give it up.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that most people don't even understand what ingredients are. They don't understand if, anything with flavoring, guys. And I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at the website, and I'm really not able to find these ingredients in here. But here's a question, Dr. Jasek, that I posed to Brian yesterday. I said, okay, you've got these customer testimonials that say, my dog lived X amount of years. Well, how do you know he wouldn't have lived longer? What are we testing this against? A dog that, I mean, it would be like the only way you could, how would you do a control study that says this actually extends a dog's life? How would you do that?
Right. You'd have to, and I mean, it's almost impossible to do that study because you'd have to take like identical dogs or dogs in identical situations, and you give one the product and then one doesn't. See how long they live. But they're not doing that. I mean, so somebody's saying, yeah, my dog lived his long life. Well, maybe it would have lived longer, like you said. How do you know? Or maybe it wouldn't have made any difference. You know, another thing I noticed on this website I was looking at this morning, where they describe the effects, they use like this really highly like scientific terminology that most people aren't. Some of the stuff I wouldn't even show, like, what are they talking about? Like, people aren't going to even know what they is and I what that is. And I think that like bamboozles, well, this must be really good because these are big words that I can't even pronounce. So, and it's doing all this really cool stuff. And I don't know what any of that means, but boy, that sounds impressive. All those big three and four syllable words. As I'm sure that was intentional just to like make it sound really impressive. And I don't think this thing does anything except make the company, whoever's making it, money.
Yeah, and so this isn't the only one. There's another one called Loyal, right? Loyal. And so and that may be the one, Loyal for Dogs. Okay. Cellular Longevity Inc., helping dogs live longer, happier lives, all by just giving them, Dr. Jasek, a supplement. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna order some for myself. And I'm going to eat cakes, cookies, and donuts all day long. And then I'm just going to take this because
Right.
this is all you need to do to have a happier, healthier dog.
Yeah, right. Just feed it whatever you want. Keep vaccinating it. I mean, it's amazing to me they put these products out there because nothing is going to, circumvent the toxins in the food and the poor nutrition and the toxins in the vaccine. So I have no idea how this is going to, make pets live longer. Well, it probably won't. Like you said, there's no control. There's no side-by-side controls. So, how do people know? I don't know. It's like they just convince people to make stuff up in their heads. It's
Well,
crazy.
yeah, this one is actually a pill. It's a pill that your dog takes every day. And it states this LOY-002, and that is being developed to support healthy aging in older dogs of nearly every size and breed. It is thought. Maybe your thought's wrong. To improve metabolic fitness. What the hell's that, Dr. Jasek? Which
Yeah.
would extend the number of healthy years your dog lives. Here's what extends your dog's life: the food that it was born to eat, and stop putting toxins in its body.
Yeah.
End of
And like
story.
that statement, it is thought. They haven't proven anything. It tells you right there, they haven't proven anything. They haven't tested anything. And then improve, what was the metabolic something?
Fitness.
Metabolic fitness. Yeah, what is
Yeah.
that? Like it's so vague. It just that all means a bunch of nothing, but people will fall. Why can't people fall for just feeding raw?
It is just too
Why is
damn
it
scary. Too scary, Dr. Jasek.
so easy for people just to jump on the next pill that's gonna, supposedly, or it's thought that it will, keep. Maybe we just need to say, well, it's thought that, your pet's gonna be healthier on raw food,
Right. And you know what is so, well, I don't think that people realize that in when you have a company, and certainly when you have products, you have to go through a labeling you have to submit labeling for approval in every state. Every single time you submit a label, you have to pay a fee. So if I have 200 products of which I have to submit a label for every one of those, and they can make you change anything. I've even had them come over to my website and say, you can't make those claims.
Is this the FDA that does this?
It's the state of Colorado, and but they are very, very closely tied to what the FDA requires. Mm-hmm. So think about that, guys. Somebody is censoring. Basically, that's what they do, Dr. Jasek. They call it, you know, labeling. But
and consumer protection. They're just protecting the consumer from any, you know, bad products. They're doing us all such a big favor because, you know, our government's looking out for us, right?
They are. They are, Dr. Jasek.
Such a comfort. I can sleep so well at night just knowing that Big Brother is out there, you know, keeping his eye on me, you know.
You know, and that's why I really and I get nothing from this, the final pandemic, and I haven't even started reading it, but I wanted to I just was looking through the appendix and or the front of the book. What's it called? All the, you know,
index,
thank you. And you know, I came up to treatments that cause disease, and lo and behold, they're talking about rabies. And we just did that. So call me crazy, call you crazy. They called us crazy on the dilated cardiomyopathy BS as well. But, you know, our intent is to keep pets as healthy as possible.
Right.
That's it.
I mean, what do we gain by speaking out against, you know, the rabies narrative and these, you know, protocols at the vets and all these, and the rabies ordinances? Like, we're just going to gain a whole bunch of crap from it.
Right.
So we got nothing to gain, you know,
right.
We're doing it because it's in the best interest of the pets. And we want to keep pets healthy as possible. And waking up people is how we do it, because pets don't get to choose. That's the thing. Humans can choose. You know, if you don't want to take care of your health, you want to eat at McDonald's and not exercise or whatever, well, that's your choice. But pets don't get to choose. They're taken into the vet by a human and they're treated by other humans. Do you think that pet's like, oh yeah, sign me up. I really want that rabies shot because I'm worried about, you know, those rabid skunks out there. They don't care. They just want to go out and play and live a happy, healthy life. And that's what we're trying to do, is to help that happen. Get the people out of the way. The people are the ones that are poisoning the pets, not the pet parents, but the information coming is what's poisoning the pets, because it's hard for people to sort through all of that.
Well, again, I think it's hard for people to believe that the powers that be would not care, that they just care about the profits. And yeah. if they didn't care about the profits, they probably wouldn't have a bunch of shareholders and, you know, go public and kind of do all these things. I mean, you can see they care about the profits. Now, I'm all for capital, you know, capitalism. I'm all for that. Absolutely. I have a business. You have a business, right? Mm-hmm. But it's just, they cannot wrap their heads around, my doctor doesn't know, but what he was in this little box, right? He didn't get outside of that box. Doesn't want outside the box. The box is comfortable. It's what he knows. That's how he makes his cash. And I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she's got this, you know, she's going to be 82 this year. And she supposedly stood up and tore like the meniscus right behind her knee. And so they want her to come in and get an MRI. They want her to do this. They want her to do that. But it's not until April. So in the meantime, she's in this pain. And I said, well, Mom, didn't they give you any kind of like exercises or anything that you could do. They don't even know if that's actually what she's done. They're guessing. And she was like, no, they didn't. You know, they gave me some stuff to put on, you know, Difelexin or Duflex. I don't know what it is. But she said, I can't get any information out of my doctor. And I don't think that they really care, you know? And I'm just like, well, you know, she's depressed and she's in pain. And it's just not a good situation.
No.
Today in the medical world.
And I don't think they do care. They have their protocols. They can't make a plan until they can get the MRI done. And however long that takes, like I really don't think they care. They don't sit around worried about, oh my gosh, I got this patient that's going to be sitting in pain for a month because, you know, I can't get this MRI done. And what if there's anything else we could do to help her out? You know, go to a physical therapist, you know, maybe that, you know, they could get some exercises. But I think from a liability standpoint, you know, they need to get the MRI so they know what they're treating, because then they have to code it. See, that's this whole insurance coding thing. Like, until they have the exact diagnosis, they can't code it properly for the insurance company or Medicare or whatever. So I think that's a big part of it too.
You know, I often wonder what happens to doctors. Now, you and I know we deal with a lot of people, okay? And we know that that can be taxing, can be exhausting. But what happens with doctors when they just kind of check out? You know, they did. What happens in their life? I mean, do they just compartmentalize? They go, I'm just going to check out on this side and I'm just going to kind of walk through my day and be a robot and check, 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 and do this. That's got to affect you internally, right? It has to affect your life if you just are so checked out and you feel like you can't do anything. And you don't really want to do anything and you're just kind of going through the motion. What kind of life is that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not medicine. Like, to me, like, you know, my business is animal healing art, because I do believe that practicing medicine, it is an art. It's something that it's in some ways a form of self-expression. Each practitioner has their own unique gifts, but none of that's happening in conventional medicine. There's very little of it happening in holistic medicine. It's that if people are so, doctors are so afraid, like you said, to step outside the box or to deviate from standard of care, because heaven forbid they might, you know, lose the almighty license. You know, those licenses, it's just a handcuff. It's all a light of any kind. Mm-hmm. It gives the state control, most like medical licenses and other practitioners, massage therapists, hairstyle. I mean, why do you think they have so much licensing? It's so that the state can control what you do. It should be people come to you because they trust you and you're providing good care. And then you'd have to be successful based on your own merit. Not you couldn't just blow off your clients and or patients and pretend like, you know, you just don't care, because they go to some other doctor that was more caring and actually seemed to give a crap. But if everybody's doing the same thing and that's the standard of care and that's what the state boards say that, you know, veterinarians or medical practitioners should be doing, then, you know, it's baffling to me how the standard of care has become poisoning, literally killing our pets. Like, it's okay to kill a pet with chemotherapy. Oh, but ozone or mistletoe, some of the stuff I do. Oh my gosh. Like that's way far outside the box, even though it's perfectly safe. You know, we shouldn't be doing things like that. No, let's just keep killing them with things like chemotherapy and antibiotics and all these other drugs they just keep pumping in. That's standard of care. It's really gone bass backwards.
You know, it's one of the things that I see that the standard of care or the standard group does. These little bumps and lumps on dogs, right? Fat, whether you want to call them fatty tumors or you want to call whatever. And people are always asking me, do you think that, you know, what do you think is, do you think this feels like it's cancerous? Do you think it's a fatty tumor? And it's like, either way, right? Would you take it out? Would you poke and prod it? Would you do a biopsy? on a dog. And most of the veterinary community will just cut that right open and take it out. Mm-hmm. And is that really necessary? Right? That's something that you do way different than than the traditional veterinary group, right? So does it really matter, Dr. Jasek, if it's a fatty tumor or it's not?
It doesn't matter to me. My, you know, my treatment protocols, I mean, true, a fatty tumor would be less likely to turn into something more serious and metastasize and kind of take over the body like some types of cancer are, but do. But I can look at a dog with, and I've had some clients. I've actually had a few clients here in recent months that they're like, I don't want to go to the vet. My vet killed my last pet. And some people are waking up to this, not a whole lot, but some like, I know my vet killed my last pet and I don't want to go back in there. So will you help me if I don't go in there? And like, sure. I mean, you know, so we have a mass, we have a growth, we have, you know, like stagnation, toxicity, you know, something's not working right in the body. So what am I going to do? Good nutrition, species appropriate nutrition. We, you know, stop poisoning the body. We help the body detox. There's Chinese herbal blends that can help move that stagnant energy. There's ozone, mistletoe. None of that stuff depends on the type of cancer. And you can track most of these. I mean, it's extremely rare for me to work with a cancer patient that's been on a very clean routine, like the way you and I treat our pets. We've seen it a couple times, and then it's always some sort of toxicity. And then it's probably environmental, where they're walking the dogs. There's too much glyphosate. There's, you know, some people that hunt in the farmer's fields. I've seen those in some bird dogs that get cancer because they're out there sniffing in all the chemicals when they go out there and hunt. And that's what they do. So they don't want to stop doing that. But it's almost always stems from poor nutrition and toxins, you know, the vaccines. And then a lot of them are also have a history of itchy skin. And so they've been on the Apoquil and been on the Cytopoint. And so their immune system's suppressed. And I don't agree with just taking out any, I really don't even agree with, you know, sticking needles in. And part of that is I've seen them blow up certain tumors, like mast cell tumors. I've had clients tell me this over and over. One needle aspirate and the next morning is like three times the size. And wow. Some tumors like that too, that are really reactive, locally reactive, you remove them and the regrowth rate is extremely high, even if they supposedly get clean margins where they don't see any cells. But the regrowth rate is very high. And when they regrow, surgical regrowth is really, really hard to treat. That's probably the biggest reason I don't recommend removing tumors, because if they can't get it all, and even if they do, like on pathology, get clean margins, they still oftentimes regrow. And when they regrow, they are multiples more aggressive and harder to treat. The only time I'd recommend removing one is if the location were painful or it's like they can't pee. They got a tumor in the bladder. They can't pee. So there you, I mean, it's either surgery or euthanasia. And so I work with some cases where they'll do surgery and then we jump in and we try to keep the tumor from regrowing, but it's still a, you know, a battle against time. But in case sometimes like that, you know, surgery is literally like, you know, like life-saving, or you got a bleeding tumor on the spleen, you know, you go in and take the spleen out so that they don't risk, you know, multiple bleeds, some things like that. But just all these little skin bumps and bumps, no, I leave them. And they're most of the time, they're very treatable. And that's the other thing, they scare people so much. Like these mast cells, people are scared to death by these mast cell tumors. I've treated so many cases where we don't remove them and we just do the support stuff. And they're fine. Lots of them go away, or they'll shrink down and just become insignificant. They don't ever bother the dog. It's very rare that mast cell goes, you know, systemic. But people are, I mean, literally told, well, if you don't do anything, your dog's going to be dead in 3 months. You know, for a little bitty mast cell tumor. Like it's ludicrous, but that's what gets people to do these procedures is they're afraid. So I spend a lot of time kind of talking them down off of that cliff. Yeah. So it's people get a lot of fear.
We should do that. Our next webinar on fatty tumors, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot. So is there a way for a pet parent to touch something? They always want to touch it and name it, right? And like we were just talking, fatty tumors versus a cancerous tumor. Can you tell mm-hmm. by touching it?
Well, there's definitely characteristics, just having seen lots and lots of different tumors. And they used to remove them. I mean, you know, I was younger, veterinarian. That's what you did. You saw a lump, you got it out of there until I learned better. So fatty tumors tend to be smooth. So anything that's more aggressive or malignant tends to have a rougher texture. It doesn't feel smooth. So fatty tumors, they feel smooth and they're more mobile. Okay. More malignant tumors tend to have a deeper attachment, like they're harder to move, they're irregular. Tumors on top of the stuff, fatty tumors are covered by skin and hair. Any tumor on the surface of the skin, like they just look ugly. There's an ugly, angry color if they're a malignancy. You know, dogs get these little like pink, you know, warts, little cauliflower looking things. You know, those are really just cosmetic. Could still be some imbalances in the routine, but they're not really a big medical concern, but the big open, oozy, angry looking lumps. So yeah, so there's definitely differences. I'd say fatty tumors, they're smooth. You can feel them underneath the skin. They're usually moving around a little bit. They're kind of squishy feeling. And, you know, it's amazing. Like I'll treat, like say I'm treating a dog for itchy skin. And we're cleaning up the routine and doing all this. And people come back and say, you know, my dog used to have had all these fatty tumors. They just gone away. I'm like, go figure.
Right.
Because I think those are definitely, you know, it's toxicity. Like they don't go to the point of being a more serious malignancy. But I think that is the body just walling off toxins in the fat, because the fat stores toxins. So as we get them on a better diet, we help the body detoxify, you know, they go away.
You know, someone is inquiring with me right now because their dog goes to a daycare and therefore has to have the rabies vaccine, and the dog is itching like crazy. So it is on the Cytopoint, and they are doing, I think, a commercial raw. I don't know. I need to have that conversation with them today, but they're reaching out and wanting to know what they can do. And, you know, our response is always, you got to stop vaccinating, right? And the parent's response is, yeah, but I always feel so bad because I want my dog to be able to go play with other dogs during the day while I'm working. Now, there's nothing we can do about that, right? There's nothing we could do about that desire to have your dog in a situation where they can play all day instead of sitting at home by themselves. I get that. But if you're going to a place that's requiring these nonsensical toxins, then I'm not sure that we can avoid that itching.
Right.
The question that I really want to ask is this. Why do you think that we see so much cancer when a dog is on an immune suppressant or non-itchy regimen, stop the itching regimen like Cytopoint and Apoquil? Mm-hmm. Why do you think that causes that?
Well, it disrupts the body's normal function, because all those things do are suppressing symptoms, which is suppressing the natural immune system reaction. You know, the itching is a sign the body's reacting to something. It could be detoxing. It could be some chemical the body's reacting to. We don't really know what all those drugs are. It's suppressing that body's natural reaction. Well, you're also suppressing the body's ability to eliminate abnormal cells. You know, there's mechanisms in the body for eliminating, you know, when cells start to mutate and start to change, and you have this dying toxic. I mean, cancer to me is like a It's like a survival mechanism. The cells are so toxic and so damaged, they can't survive. And so they do this shift in their metabolism where they can then, grow out of control, and thus it's cancer, but it's like a survival mechanism. These are already really sick, really toxic cells. Well, a healthy body can eliminate those. It's part of the detoxification. They can get rid of these abnormal cells. And, as Dr. Cowan says, take them out with the garbage. But when you're shutting down that mechanism. You're shutting down the itching, but you're shutting down that same mechanism that's going to be getting rid of these dead and dying cells. And so, yeah, it just makes sense to me. If you're suppressing that natural healing ability of the body because you want the itching to go away, yeah, you're suppressing the body's ability to manage toxins and parasites and these other things that can lead to cancer.
Yeah, and I that's a difficult one for people to understand. Even though we've done the itchy pet webinar, right? We talked about, skin scraping, we've talked about the diet, we talked about the omega-3s, we talk about stop putting toxins in the body. So it's difficult for folks because you are going to have to be weaned off, right? Weaned off of these immune suppressants, because if you just take it off to stop, it's like, having a garden hose on, you've stepped on it, you've cramped it, and then you step off of it, right? You step off of it and all the water comes out. And then you're like, see, my dog needs that. And it's like, well, you have to go through that process of that
Right.
detoxing process. And it's probably not fun. It's probably not fun. And that's where people really need to work with you, Dr. Jacek, on these types of medications that these dogs have been on, and wean them off appropriately so that you don't send your dog into this catastrophic situation, right?
And we're doing other support. We're doing herbs and we're doing other things to help support the process. But yeah, and it's like I think these drugs are designed this way. They make it so hard to get. Apoquil is so hard to get dogs off of. Even if we wean, there's just this huge rebound effect, and you have to just kind of, go through it. Or, you're never they're never going to regain health if you don't get them off the drugs. And boy, that rebound is really, really strong because the immune system's waking up like, oh wow, now I can do my thing. I don't know what to do. It's like it needs to be re-educated. And you've been like, there's something caused the itching, whatever that was, has not been resolved, and that's been brewing underneath the whole time. If there's, some toxicity or some nutrient deficiency or whatever was leading to that itchy skin in the first place hasn't been resolved, you're just putting a band-aid on the symptom. So that's been brewing. So, makes sense to me that they're going to be a lot worse when you take them off the drugs. But if you don't go through that process and get them off of those drugs, yeah, you're going to be looking at cancer almost guaranteed. And your person that was asking about the daycare. I mean, there are workarounds. Ask, say, maybe they could get a waiver. Maybe they could find somebody that would give them a waiver. Say, look, my dog has really itchy skin. Can we just forego the vaccine for a while? Put them off for some period of time. Maybe they'll quit asking. Or maybe you find other like-minded people that also don't want to vaccinate, and you hire somebody to babysit them for a day. There's options. I think people just say, well, I just got to, it's my only option. You could find, I mean, that's what people do. That's how new businesses get started, is, people have innovative ideas. And sometimes if you really want your dog, it's great. It's great for dogs that are social, that to play all day. So maybe you can find some other workaround besides just poisoning. I think people often take the easy way out.
And it is very difficult, I think, for pet parents who are have not been on the holistic path for a while, right? That I maybe one of the webinars that we need to do is really talk about, Dr. Jacek, how the body works, right?
Yeah.
How does the body work? Because there is this idea that, you know, and shame on Louis Pasteur, all these people put forth, is that you can put all this debris, all this toxic debris in someone's body, and that is going to keep them healthy. I mean, that is really what they're saying. And yet, we have control groups. We can see the dogs that aren't itching. And we can see the dogs that are itching. And we're like, what's the difference in these two dogs? What is the biggest difference in this group and that group? Right?
Right.
And it's not just food, because I know pet parents that are feeding a raw diet, but are still putting the toxins in, and therefore their dogs are still itching, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you gotta have the food. That's that, you know, bottom line, folks. I mean, what you're going to go out and eat processed food yourself, and you're going to convince yourself that that is healthy and that you can take a longevity pill and you're going to be fine?
Right.
It makes no sense on the human side. It doesn't make any more sense on the carnivore side. These are animals that are designed to eat raw foods, raw meat, raw organs, raw meaty bones. That is what they're designed to eat. Now, kibble came in and convinced everybody that it could be more convenient and it could still be nutritious. Well, I beg to differ. And seriously, somebody doesn't have your mind that much, do they? Have they grabbed your mind and just totally made mush of it?
Yeah, that's what marketing does. It grabs people's minds and turns it into mush. People believe the narratives, and they believe the narratives about raw that aren't true, that it's full of dangerous bacteria and parasites and it's gonna, you know, kill the pet. And you know, people, I think, just need to look at their own pet. How is their pet doing? Is their pet healthy? You know, it is pretty easy to tell when your pet is in good health and thriving, and compare, you know, your pet to your neighbor's pets. And, you know, you can really see the difference. But yeah, as far as the vaccines go, if you're not eliminating those toxins, I mean, it's diet still helps. I think these pets are way worse off if they're on a kibble diet. But you're not going to get the raw food is not going to be a magic bullet if you're still poisoning them, because the vaccines also disrupt this normal regulatory mechanisms in the body, the immune system functions and all that. They can really, and I think sometimes permanently, to where the itchy skin, we can't ever get it to completely go away. We can manage it and we can definitely help and we can improve it. But if you keep giving the vaccines, then yeah, you're going to continue to have an itchy dog.
You know what we need, Dr. Jasek? We need Dr. Mark Bailey and Sam Bailey on our team, or at least to do a presentation that would show this scary bacteria in raw.
Mm-hmm.
And really point out, has salmonella really caused an issue in a dog? Has E. coli really caused an issue in a dog? Has overgrowth of candida and all of these things, you know, really caused issues in the raw diet? Okay, in the raw diet. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about raw. What strain? What level? And how did you make that connection? Mm-hmm. Nobody has ever done that. And yet, you have the FDA that will walk in and say, we have a zero tolerance policy. Okay? Zero tolerance. Just in the raw. Not really in the kibble. Okay? We're going to say it in the kibble, but we don't really go with that. I mean, hence all the recalls that they've had, but then nothing's ever changed like with Hill's or Purina.
Right.
But wouldn't it be great if we had the people who really did the science? I don't care what you believe, because belief and facts are two different things, okay? Completely different. You can believe that, you know, as Dr. Cowan says, unicorns are causing things to blow up, but you can't ever find a unicorn to really test it, right? So that's a belief that's unfounded. And we have a lot of those, just like the vets push the raw diet is so bacteria laden that it's not only going to make your dog sick, but your entire family. That scary boogeyman out there.
And completely unproven. Because as we talked about, the only way to prove if a dog has some symptom and the vet's saying, well, it's got to be the raw food, and it's probably salmonella because they just like to put names on it. The only way they're going to know that is if they culture the food, find that strain of a particular strain of salmonella, and then they culture that exact same bacteria out of the dog. That's the only way that you could prove that statement. And like you said, it's never been done. It's just all hearsay. And because all the vets are saying the same thing, like I said in my webinar, if you say something over and over and over and over again, it becomes the truth because everybody's saying it. Everybody's saying the same thing, like the DCM thing. You just start repeating something over and over. Enough people say it, well, then people take it as true and they don't even look back to see is there any validity to the statement in the first place.
Well, Dr. Jasek, let's just look at it this way. When raw kind of hit the scene as big as it did back in probably, 2007, right? I would say 2006. Now there are people that have been doing it for a long time. The raw food of choice, and still for many people, chicken backs, chicken wings, duck necks, turkey necks, duck feet. Those are, your poultry things are the ones that typically have this, big salmonella. Well, were those dogs dying? No, they probably had inflammation because they had a little bit too much omega-6, but you know what I'm saying? So the nonsensical stuff just drives me insane. It's like where, and the other thing is too. Why don't they do like what Dr. Cowan has done with COVID, quote unquote, COVID, whatever the heck that is, or any virus? Take this salmon, and this is not a virus, this is a bacteria, so it's different, right? But it's like, take the strain and isolate it and put it in a dog, and let's see how much of that strain would cause, this is terrible to say, death. But I mean, they do these tests all the time, but they're not going to do that, right? And then there's just no evidence. There's zero evidence.
Well, you actually do somewhat of a test because you take food back and you feed it to your own dogs.
Of
So that's
course
the
we
other
do.
thing. Even if you didn't want to do the culture, take that exact same food that this dog was eating, that the vet's saying this dog got sick, and feed that exact same food to 10 other dogs. And if not a single one gets sick, wouldn't that tell you something? This food had this horribly pathogenic bacteria, and 10 other dogs doesn't mean, and you've done that because you
We
feed
do it
it
all the
to
time.
your staff and you take food back and you feed it to the dogs. Like
Well,
that speaks volumes.
here's what people say, Dr. Jasek. I can't believe that you would subject these dogs to this food that there's something wrong with it. And I said, well, I kind of am a, I've been doing it a while and have yet, Dr. Jasek, to be able to duplicate that which a pet parent has said, this food caused this situation. And it's like, we can't see it in 10 other dogs in 10 other homes, or not 10 other homes, but 10 other dogs in 4 other homes, right? Not, it doesn't have, ne we have never been able to do that. But you will never convince a pet parent of that because you know what they think? Well, that was that role, but my role, my, it was just that, it was just contaminated in that one role. It's like, seriously.
Once their mind's set on it, it's hard to get them off. And it's funny how they harp on the, oh, I can't believe you're going to do that, feed this bad food to your dogs, and they completely miss the point. The point just goes right over their head that Yeah, but the point is, it didn't make the dog sick. But you're right. There was just one bite of that food that made my dog sick, and your dog just didn't get any of those bites.
Right. And so, and certainly when we see multiple dogs in the house, we typically are like, what is ha what do you do? What are you giving all of your animals, right? And it's just really funny, the whole justification, the whole way that people connect, the dots. You know, I was speaking to somebody the other day who said, my dog, and this is such an issue, Dr. Jasek, ground bones. My dog can't eat ground bones. How do we know? Well, they're throwing it up. When are they throwing it up? About an hour after they eat. Well, what else are you giving your dogs, right? I'm making my own veggies. I'm making my own stuff. I'm giving them calcium instead of real bones. Okay. I said, and they're saying, but they do fine on this other blend. And I said, well, you do realize that the bone content is exactly the same in both of those blends. So probably not the bone. Right? Probably not the bone. And if you're giving a calcium supplement, guys, that is not real bone. It's not real bone. And eggshells, it's not the same type of calcium that is in bone. But it's really funny how people kind of make these correlations. And I gave them four different steps, to do to really test some things out. Temperature, different blends. Is it, and I also said, well, what's happening? Well, and I don't think it was that this dog, one of these dogs was vomiting every single time. But I said, what are you doing when the dog vomits? Oh, I shoo him away. I shoo him away. I said, no, let them eat that food. Oh, that's gross. I don't want to do it because if they needed to get rid of something in the body, I don't want them to put it back in their body again. I said, well, that's kind of the way their moms fed them in the wild. And it's gross to us. It's yucky. But if the pH is wrong, right, in the dog, it might be the bone. It might be the fat content. It might be additives that you're putting in. It might be temperature. There's so many different variables.
I really think that, because we see a lot of dogs that are on so many supplements and even, singular ingredients like the calcium, I mean, calcium. That's such a misnomer. Same in people that we need calcium for healthy bones. You need full, complete mineral content. Your bones. And they found this in people that take these drugs to improve bone density. So the bones like look more dense on X-ray, but they become really brittle. So if you don't have the right proportions of these different minerals, you're not going to have healthy bones because they could be more brittle. They're going to be out of balance. But anyway, I think some of those supplements could be changing the pH. And that's why, like we tell people, got to stop anything that's not, medically essential. Just stop it for a while and see what you notice. A lot of people add in, their own veggies and their own this and their own that. Well, if that's your dog's doing okay with that, fine, but if your dog's having issues, then we need to get down to just a new baseline on just the food because those additions might be throwing off that stomach pH that they need to properly break down the food.
And if you look at our veggie fruit line, okay, the HVM, the healthy variety mix. Okay, guys, there's 7% in there. Now I'm going somewhere with this. 7% out of the 100%, 7%. Now you look at which items are in there. There's not a whole lot of any of it. Okay. And yet I will have pet parents that say, well, my dog can't eat that line because you've got things in there that my dog's allergic to, like a blueberry or something like that. Why? Because I've taken an allergy test.
Yeah, look at all allergy tests.
And I'm like, listen, there's a lot of money in allergy test. Dr. Jasek could be making money. I could be making money. They don't work. And they're going to send you down a rabbit hole that's going to make you crazy and limit your dog. So sometimes it's like I have to really break it down for folks, right? And this particular pet parent was saying, I can't do the HVM blends because that dog is allergic to some of the things that are in there. And I want to say, how do we, other than an allergy test, how have we really tested that out? Right. You know what I'm saying? It's beyond me that there's so many pet parents, Dr. Jasek, that are not feeding their dogs a variety because of these damn allergy mm-hmm. tests.
And I think if they're inflamed, so a lot of times these tests are done for itchy skin and the body's inflamed. If the skin's inflamed, most likely the gut's inflamed. And those tests are never going to be valid. And I see people that have their dogs on such restricted diets based on the results of those tests that they maybe did 3 years ago. Like it's written in stone the rest of this dog's life, they can never eat any of these things. And, but it's not working because they're coming to me and, you know, wondering why, you know, their dog's still itching because they're doing all this, but they still don't want to change. They still don't want to stop. But I can't feed these foods because my dog's allergic. Well, if that were the cause of the itching, why is your dog still itching? Like they just, like you said, they don't work. I see that all the time. People follow the recommendations and they don't work. That's why they end up coming to me for other solutions. So I just really don't see them being valid. And when you get down to a basic raw diet, if there is a food sensitivity, it's really pretty simple to tell. You know, if they don't do well on chicken, you feed them a chicken blend, you're going to see increased itchies. They're going to act differently than they do on beef. It's these foods with like the kibble with all these processed ingredients. You could never sort out what they could be sensitive to. And the whole diet's just inflaming them. But to me, it's like the whole idea of food allergy testing is pretty absurd because you're going to know, just see how you get down to just these basic blends, singular protein, and you're going to know how your pet does on them. You're going to see it right before your eyes. It'll be very obvious. And food allergies, in my experience, are extremely rare. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the type of thing like people with peanut allergies, they get a peanut oil and something in their throat swells shut. That sort of thing. Not just this general inflammation, itchy skin. It's extremely rare that it's due to a, you know, singular protein. A lot of it's gut stuff. We need to be healing up the gut. You know, stop other poisons. It's always the food, that gets blamed, not, oh, I've been, you know, vaccinating my dog every 6 months for the last 3 years. And then they wonder why they're itching. Well, it must be the chicken, you know.
Right. We were talking at the warehouse yesterday and we said, you know what we should do? We should all do an allergy test and see what comes up. And recognize that, yeah, I've been eating that stuff and it hasn't been bothering me at all, but it's here on this allergy test, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's going to pick up everything I've been eating, right? Yeah. And so it just, I think we've got to caution our pet parents. I know that they get frustrated because the dog is itching. So they go that direction. And then we go to the Apoquil and then we go to the Cytopoint. And then we're going to come to Dr. Jasek because your dog's going to have cancer. And hopefully, you know, we can change that. But let's not do it in the first place.
Right. You know, another thing I don't ever see work that's done a lot in people that go to a dermatologist. They do this immunotherapy where they do testing. They do like the skin scratches. And then a lot of times it's for environmental allergies. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a desensitization. Like you give small doses of what they're supposedly allergic to. And then it's supposed to desensitize. Never seen it work. Never. All those dogs are still on some medication. Antihistamine, steroids, Apoquil. I mean, they're still on something to control the symptoms. And people come to me and they're like, this stuff's really expensive. It's a pain because it's like a special order kind of thing. And I don't think it's helping. So I'm just going to stop it. Like, okay. You know, I don't ever, would it work if, you know, they were also telling people not to vaccinate and all these things? I don't know, maybe, but I see people burn a lot of money because that's specialty pricing at that point, and
Right?
it's expensive. Hundreds, I mean, it's thousands of dollars, I think, just to get started, and then hundreds of dollars a month to keep up with the therapy, and it doesn't work. And beware of companies like a lot of these allergy testing companies. They also sell supplements. So along with your allergy test results, you're going to get a recommendation for a half dozen supplements. So are they in the testing business or are they in the business of selling supplements?
Right. Well, we're in the business of healthy pets.
That's right.
So feel free to go over to Raw Dog Food and Company and get your dog on a species appropriate diet.
Well, you should be on a species appropriate diet too, whatever that is for you. But
Right. I will tell you, and in this 75 hard, I cut out, Dr. Jacek, bread, pasta, rice, potatoes. Those were my big, right? And so you can really tell in a body if you stick to that. I heard somebody say the other day, weight loss happens more in the kitchen than it does in the gym, right? Because it really is, and we see this with the dogs. You can't exercise that kibble fat off dogs. And if we are eating processed foods, I mean, it's just, test it on yourself, folks. If you don't believe that raw food is dramatically going to change your dog, just do it in yourself first. You could follow the Dr. Paul Saladino, the carnivore doc for people, or there's a bunch of them out there. Just eliminate the.
Weston Price is another good one because they do like
Yeah.
whole foods, high fat. They let you have dairy and all that stuff, just real natural foods. So, are you craving carbs? Are you like, oh my gosh, I just got to have some bread? Or did
No.
you at first?
Yeah, probably. So every Monday I'm at the warehouse working, and we also bring in, the team there, they decide where we're going to order from that day. And so for me, I always have to look at everything and not do, bread or rice or potatoes or things like that. And yesterday somebody, got these rolls. They got these rolls. And when you smell bread, and you think slather on the butter, right? And you could, just that, yeah. When you smell it, you have this craving for it, right? But just on an everyday, no, I'm really fine. The things that I will say I have craved and I have eaten a lot of on the 75 hard are salads.
Oh,
And
that's good
Dr.
for you.
Paul Saladino would say that's probably not the best thing for you, but Rick and I are very different in the way that we eat. He doesn't eat a whole lot of veggies ever because he kind of follows that, Saladino thing. I like them, and I certainly like greens, right? So I like broccoli, I like Brussels sprouts, I love cabbage. So I would say I've craved that sort of thing more than anything. The sweets craving, those are gone. I think those carbohydrate sweet cravings are gone within the first 14 days of any plan like that. Now, you put them back in your mouth and you're probably going down a slippery slope. So once this is over, which is this week, right? I don't want to go back that way. You were saying in the, I don't, I think you were talking, I don't know, in the last podcast, or you were talking about all that belly fat on that Christine, Dr. Northup had
Oh,
talked
yeah.
about, right? And that's really what I had, Dr. Jacek. I didn't even realize. I always say that I have the reverse body dysmorphic syndrome where I think I'm thinner than I really am. Until I was taking these pictures, I was like, oh my gosh, what happened to you? And so I've really lost that belly fat. A lot of people are injecting in their stomachs the Ozempic, and I refused to do that. I'm not going to do that. And I just did it the natural way, right?
Well,
And
it's another one of those things that people don't want to don't want to change their diet. Where is that belly fat coming from? The processed carbs, the simple carbohydrate. I mean, I eliminated carbs, I mean, gosh, a number of years ago. And I just feel so much better. I maintain a lean body weight. Like I really don't have to worry about like how much either. There's just certain things I just don't eat anymore. And then I can pretty much eat as much as I want of things. I'm like you, like I like a lot of greens. And some sweet, we'll have some sweet potato here and there, but no like white potato or breads or anything like that. My husband makes these muffins out of cauliflower rice. They have no flour or anything in
Oh,
them, but they're
nice.
made out of cauliflower rice and they got a ton of eggs. There's like 10 eggs. I'm like, we've got so many eggs. We need to make those muffins again because we gotta use up some eggs. But they're a lot of egg and cauliflower, and that's what's in them. And then you can kind of season them up however you want. You can put herbs and stuff. They're really good. They're a really good addition because you just want a little variety.
Yeah.
You just get tired eating the same old stuff. And they're really good. We'll send you the recipe if you
Oh,
want
I
it.
would love that. I love cauliflower. Cauliflower mashed potatoes, right? So you just do the cauliflower and you add the, real butter. And oh my gosh, it's so good. I could eat that with everything, right? I love that. So yeah, I think it's, it's called 75 hard for a reason. And it's not really that hard, but it's just committing, right? So I heard somebody the other day, I think it was Tucker Carlson that said this. Was it Tucker Carlson? No, it was Joe Rogan. And he was talking about comedians, but I relate it to everything. He's talking about what's so inspiring is when people fully commit, right? Whatever you're going to fully commit to something, right? And you can, things are hard in life, right? Running a business is hard. Running a marathon is hard. Working on your house is hard. Everything's hard. So what? Get over it. But it's if you fully commit to it, you can, I really believe you can do just about anything you want to do if you fully commit to the situation. And I look at that in what we do with pets. It when pet parents fully commit, right? And you've seen some of the worst dogs, Neely sees some of the worst dogs, and the pet parents basically fully commit to turning their lifestyle around to a holistic perspective, right? These dogs are amazing. And they have the ability to live a long, healthy life without giving them some stupid pill that supposedly is going to extend their life.
Extend their
You,
life, right?
right? Fully commit to feeding what they were designed to eat, right? Fully commit to that. Fully commit to investigating your water and getting your dogs out in the sunshine and, giving them raw meaty bones and stopping this insanity that's called traditional veterinary medicine. Fully commit to that. Fully commit to investigating and researching it. Is it hard? You betcha. So what?
But take out, one step at a time. You're 75 hard, read 10 pages a day. So pick a topic. Want to learn more about nutrition? Buy, Dr. Billinghurst's book, or buy, something on, the area, because the more educated you are, the more it's going to make sense. If you just believe what people say, but you don't educate yourself, that's where you get all this different information. That becomes so confusing. But if you really educate yourself and then you get sound in your principles, and then I think you're less likely to sway from that.
Yeah. You're not so scared. You're not so scared. And look, we're all going to make mistakes, but I think you make less mistakes, Dr. Jacek, when you are educated, when you have all the facts, when you can, just expand your brain, expand your education, expand your ability to withstand what is difficult. And that is something that the world is becoming flabby. We're coming very flabby in regards to discomfort and how hard things are. And so I think that you got to get on some kind of a program because it's very easy. We're all busy, right? We can sit behind these computers. We can say, I don't have time to work out. And that's how I got so much belly fat, right? It was just like, oh, I don't feel like working out today. I was at the warehouse all day. Well, too bad. You know, I have to get up an hour earlier, right? If I'm going to do a podcast at, 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning, I got to get out, walk first, do my podcast, get to the warehouse, come back, get in the gym. You just got to plan it out. And I know people have kids and they got a job and so whatever it is, just fully commit to it. And
Right.
I
It's
think
easy, and I do the same thing. It's easy to waste time too. If you really like did a schedule of how much time do you spend watching nonsensical videos? And not that there's anything wrong with taking a break, but if you're actually using a significant amount of your time, do you really not have the time, or do you just need to rearrange priorities? I think time and money in a large percentage of cases are more about priorities rather than black. What are you going to prioritize that you spend your money on? What are you going to prioritize that you spend your time on? Not, I don't have the time. It's, well, you're actually just choosing to use your time doing something else.
And this program where I'm on this program is going to end. And so I'm really going to have to monitor myself, right? And say, I am not going back to the way I was. Why would I do this? And really have to put forth so much effort and so much time and then just throw it all away. Right? And we do that all the time. And that is something that pet parents do too. Right? They go down this line, they put all this time and money and effort into feeding a raw diet, and then they go into the vet and they scare them, and then they go back to a kibble-based traditional way. And I guarantee you, they see the transformation, downward transformation in their dogs, right? And then you got to come, do it again. And some pet parents don't. They just don't. So I would say don't let yourself slide into that situation. But anyway.
And it's going to be a little uncomfortable
Sure.
at your vet, just like we talked about in the rabies webinar. Educate yourself so you understand the facts about why raw feeding is so beneficial for dogs, and then you got to go in there and push back a little bit. People just roll over to, well, I don't want to push back against authority, and I really like my vet. I want my vet to like me. Like, forget about all that stuff. You either advocate for your pet or you don't. And like you're saying, Didi, you do it 100% and you do it all the time. And if your vet's going to push vaccines and these prescription diets, then you go someplace else. You just
Right.
say, all right, I'm moving on. And I mean, I have had, I've got some clients that, have strong personalities, and they go in and they go to their local vet and they said, look, this is the way I roll. I don't do vaccines and I feed raw. And are you going to be okay working with me? And they either say yes or no. They say no, then they go find somebody else. But because they're so strong in it and so confident in it, they can usually find a vet that will work with them. The people that are more likely to roll over have a harder time.
Right.
Then they'll say, yeah, I get the little star, little mark on my chart. She's one of those people. Which is like, I don't care. So you can't let that stuff get to you. Like, yeah, so they talk about you. That's like, oh, that crazy client, that they're talking about you in the lunchroom. Well, who cares? You're doing what's best for your pet. And I think when you stand your ground and you proclaim it and you do it with confidence, you're way more likely to find somebody. Go in the pe person with the daycare, go into daycare, say, look, my pet's got itchy skin. I know these vaccines could potentially make it worse. Will you give me some time to, see if I can work this out? And then maybe they'll forget to ask you to prove the shot or something,
Right.
But when you come on and you're strong and you're strong in your convictions and what you believe is really right for your pet, I think you're going to find way more workarounds.
And I heard Tucker Carlson say something the other day that was just profound to me. And he said this. They were asking, he had Chris Cuomo on there, which, okay, whatever. But Chris Cuomo was saying, what do you care about what people say, right? Social media wise. And Tucker Carlson was like, I'm not on social media. I have never in my entire career watched or looked at my ratings or listened to what people say. And he was talking about PR people. And he was like, why would I give two rats about what somebody who knows nothing
right
says about me, somebody that I have no relationship with? He said, I find that very dangerous that you would give over your power
to
people
you don't even know.
That you don't even know. And they want to say what they want to say. He's like, I don't care. You know what I care about? I care about what my family thinks. I care about what my kids think. What my wife thinks. He's like, I don't care. So I don't even recognize it. I don't pay any attention to it. I want to be free. My job is to inform. My job is to have the best conversations so that people understand things, you know? And I thought, that's awesome. Because I remember, Dr. Jacek, when we were highly criticized during the whole COVID thing, right? We were criticized for not wearing masks. And, you know, he was talking about, he's like, look, I never did that. He was like, I never did it. And I really didn't care what people thought because, I want to live free. And there was no, you know, people say, well, you were endangering people. Well, now we know you weren't, right? But I just thought that that was so impactful. And so many times we can look at social media and say, they're crazy. You know, like Dr. Cowan, they have come out and said, well, he's crazy. You know, he says this and he doesn't even have his license anymore. Well, he doesn't want his license anymore. It restricted him.
Gave it up.
Right. Yeah. And he has this new biology clinic now and he's doing the work that he really believes in and really sees that is effective and does the test behind them, actual science, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just thought that that was very inspiring, you know, and goes along with what we were saying, that if you care what your vet thinks about you, you will be giving your power away.
Right. And the health and the health of your pet, you should be advocating for the health of your pet. Your veterinarian should be giving you options, tools, suggestions, but you should be making the ultimate decision. But if you just give your power away to your vet, that's where things are going to really go wrong. And yeah, you got to just not care. Yeah. I saw that interview and Chris Cuomo was like kind of blown away. Like, you never watch that stuff.
Yeah. Because
I think it'd be really hard if you're a public figure to not, I think it'd be hard to not look and see what people think, but he's like, no, I really don't care except for the people that are close to me. I don't really care. And that's probably kept him on his, you know, true course. He's not swayed in what he does by public opinion and public narrative.
And I was listening to Joe Rogan, who said the same thing. There was another comedian in the podcast who was saying, I get so worked up and I get so afraid and I don't think I could do this and blah, blah, blah. And Joe Rogan's like, you know, stop caring if they're going to be happy. You want to be a great comedian. You want to be a great stand-up. He said, you know, get control of your mind, one, and stop catering to what you think the people want or are going to think of you. And so it was really funny. I heard those in the same day. And I was like, wow, you know, because I remember when I was doing the motivational speaking, right? And it would tear me up. It would absolutely tear me up. I remember, you know, I would speak to 5,000, 10,000 groups, people in a group, and you would always get some feedback. And if I got the smallest, you know, feedback, it would send me down a path of, I need to change the entire presentation. I need to change the way I go out there. And Rick was always like, who gives a rat's?
Right.
Dee Dee, that these few people don't like you, don't like your presentation, right. Didn't find
there's
value.
Always going to be somebody that doesn't.
That's what he said. He's like, who cares? And I'm like, well, you're not the one up on stage. And he was like, come on.
Yeah, so but you change it, and then there's going to be another small group of people that's not going to like it. Like, it'll never end. So right. I think that's like Tucker's point, is you stay true to yourself and listen right. to the people that you respect and that you really care about, and the rest of them can go jump in the lake.
Yeah. Stay true to what you know. And the reason I'm able to stay true to the raw food feeding, right? The no toxins in the body, is because I live it every day. You think that I don't have people roll their eyes at me, think I'm nuts? Even my neighbors, who are like, okay, there's that raw feeder again.
Crazy raw lady.
Right? Doesn't believe in viruses. Da, 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 da. I don't really care. I don't really care because the proof is in my life. The proof is in my dog's health. The proof is in, you know, mine and Rick's health. So I don't really care about that. I could mm-hmm. give a rat's. I'm not changing that.
And you know what I have found too in my practice is that when I'm really starting to feel run down and like it's really becoming overwhelming, and I look at like what are the things that just drive me crazy? A lot of times, because I'm not sticking true to my belief, I'm letting things slide in. Like, I don't work with people that do chemotherapy anymore. Like, not going to do it. I'm not going to try to support your pet's health while you're poisoning your pet. And we've got a nice little email we send out to people that inquire. If the girls get an inkling that they might be doing that, or they're on the fence, they'll ask them, they'll send this letter and say, you know, I don't do this. You know, our methods are just not effective if you're going to be, you know, poisoning your pet at the same time. And that was hard because it's what I believe in, but then you're in business and I want to help people, and maybe I can help the pets a little bit. And you want to bring, you know, you don't want to be driving customers away. You know, it's just this instinct as an entrepreneur, but I wasn't being true to myself. And so those calls would be like so much more exhausting because I'm trying to walk this fence and I'm not being true to what I really believe is right for the pet. Now I just put it out there and I just say, sorry, this is the way we roll. And I don't even know these people, so I don't care what they think if they're blasting me on social media or whatever, because that's not a way I believe in. And you know, I got a full schedule. I'm not like, you know, every time I do that, like rein things in more or tighten down, like, okay, I'm not doing this, not doing that. I'm not going to work with this group. And we get many inquiries every week that never follow through after they find out how we do things. But the more I do that, I'm not losing business. It's like, it makes it better because you're creating more of a niche. And I think, and then ultimately bringing in more like-minded people, which makes the work much more enjoyable. And I can really help those pets because people are coming in because they have the same philosophies. They just need some guidance. That's really the people I want to work with. Like, they get it. People get it. They understand. They just need somebody to help them. But yeah, I think staying true to who you are and what you really believe in is it's of utmost importance.
Yeah, it is. So fully commit to your dog's health, right? And you can do that by working with Dr. Judy Jasek over at ahavet.com, ahavet.com. Listen, I do want to tell everybody that the rabies webinar, the full webinar with the slides, everything that we did on that webinar will be available very soon. We'll be posting that on Rumble. Now, if you got the link to listen to the podcast, Blog Talk is taking, that's where we load everything up and then it shoots it out to all of the different podcast. You can find it on Podbean, Spotify, Apple, all of those places. For some reason, folks are saying that it's not working on Blog Talk. I think it's because if you've not listened on Blog Talk, it takes a while for it to load up. But just go over and Google the Raw Dog Food Truth, and it's the Rabies Webinar, and you can listen to it at various locations, okay, wherever you get your podcast. But it will be up on Rumble pretty soon, probably this week. And so that'd be great. So you'll be able to watch that. And then Dr. Jacek, we're going to have another one. There's so many things that we can do webinars about. And maybe we need to do a fatty tumor thing, you know, one. I don't know. Something that, you know, that people just are getting way different information, way different protocols than the holistic.
I liked your idea about the liver enzymes. I think that'd be a really great one to do, because that's something I see a lot where pets have these minor elevations, like where I didn't ignore them, but like, you know, they're told, oh my gosh, we got to do a liver biopsy and all this stuff, and you got to be on this special diet. And like, yeah, the doc's probably on like too many supplements or something's inflaming the liver, you know, like there's so many simple things that can contribute to that. So I think that'd be a great thing to break down too.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. All right, everybody, get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com. We can get you on a species appropriate diet today. It is super easy. We've got lots of variety. Your dog will be happier for it, and you will be too. Get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business. And what, Dr. Jacek?
We're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble, y'all.
That's right. We'll see you soon, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.